talked about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind daily, right? Anyone remember that? Did anyone try and work on anything in the last week to allow God to make all things new in your life? Possibly, as we talked about, the New Year's resolutions, having a spiritual value to that. I heard something on the radio this last week, and it said, any habit we have is either self-centered or Christ-centered. And that's the reason I said, that's not the reason, but that goes into the part where I said, try and put a spiritual value to that, where it's Christ-centered. Even if it's self-centered, that we may want ourselves to look better or feel better, so that we can be better examples or lights or witnesses for Jesus Christ. So attach spiritual values to those New Year's resolutions rather than trying to have it just be about you. I want to look better so people look at me a lot. No, just attach a spiritual value to that if you would. We talked about walking in the newness of life that Jesus Christ has given us. And we talked about the fullness. And then last week we mentioned walking in the newness of life that Jesus Christ gives us. And I love that thing. John 1:16 says that His fullness we all have received. When they talked about the birth of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Messiah, His fullness we all have received. Not some of us, but all of us have received that. Amen? And then we talked about not allowing sin to reign in us and run rampant in our lives by the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Christ followers, we can't just say, I'm forgiven and keep on sinning. That's what we read last week. That we can't continue a life of sin and say, but His grace abounds, therefore we'll just keep sinning. No, He's come so that we can get rid of that, so that we can lose that and leave that stuff behind. If you would turn in your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to the very end of Matthew chapter 6. So if you want, go to Matthew chapter 7 and we'll go back a few verses. Either way, however you want to do it. He makes all things new. When we allow Jesus Christ to work in our life, to grow us and grow our faith, He can make things new. Matthew 6, verse 33. You know, we all try and have maybe a favorite scripture, and this has always been one of my favorite scriptures. And it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But we tend to get that backwards. Let me add all these things to me, and then I'll get these other things. And then I'll seek Him. When I can add finances to my bank account, then I'll seek Him. Then I'll give. Then I'll be a very generous giver when I get all these things. Let me get a better vehicle, a better home, stuff in my home. Then when I have those, then I can enjoy fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Most of you have been to our house. Most of you have seen some of you even came and repaired it. The damage that our giant dog did over the years. Shredding the molding around our doors. Shredding our drywall in the kitchen. Bathroom, bedroom, living room. It goes on and on. That's our home. Welcome to our home. Now we hope to have it repaired and get those things fixed in time. But you've come. We've invited you over. We've opened up our home. We didn't wait and say, God, give us a better home. Then we'll have company over. And then we'll do these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. They go hand in hand. Seek ye first. Not second, not third, not after the fact. And all these things shall be added to you. If you're going to follow me, Jesus is saying, you have to imitate me. And you want to imitate me, you have to seek me first. When we go to work, that's part of just what we have to do. But in that going to work, we can seek Him. When we get to work and do our job, we can seek Him. Do all things as though unto God. We can seek Him in the way we live our life. Well, my faith, it just isn't growing. It's going nowhere. I think we don't grow because we don't seek Him first. and we don't seek His righteousness. We just want it because we've come to church. God, would you please just be good to me finally for all these years of attending and drop this gigantic blessing in my lap? That's not where it's at. It's about our faith and believing and seeking righteousness. Well, we don't focus because we don't like change. We don't change because we don't see or understand the value of the trade-off from what we're doing, where we're doing it, who we're doing it with, and where we are. I was a little torn on exactly where to start today, and I know you're thinking, well, you're a little late for that. But when we talk about allowing Jesus Christ to make all things new, there's three main elements in changing a behavior. And I want you to listen carefully and see where this fits in your life and where you are. If you're stuck somewhere, if you're stuck at a family relationship, at a work relationship, or a work issue, or a church issue, or whatever, a spiritual, a faith issue, there's three main elements in changing a behavior. Readiness to change. That's number one. Readiness to change. If you're not ready to change, I wouldn't expect a change to happen real soon. Do you have the resources, listen carefully, and the knowledge? Do you have the resources and the knowledge to successfully make a lasting change? That's all part of number one and being ready to change. Number two, barriers to change. This one's pretty easy. Barriers to change. Is there anything or anyone preventing you from changing? More than likely, the answer is Y-O-U. And by that, I mean you and me. We're our own barriers to change. Is there anything keeping you from wanting to change? And you have to understand the value of that trade-off. If I have to stop this, you've got to show me the value of stopping that. What do I benefit from giving this up or stopping that or taking on something? And then number three, expect relapse. What might trigger a return to a former behavior? Expect relapse. The Bible even tells us that. Oh, by the way, when you're walking in your faith journey, guess what? The enemy doesn't just say, oh, Adam's on a faith journey. We'll just go away. We've lost him. No. The enemy is there knocking every day, chiseling away at your faith walk and saying, I'm going to strike you with this. Hey, I'm going to hit you with this. And by the way, I'm going to hit you with this. Oh, good. I just had to hit him once and they went down. Other people, oh, I had to hit him several times and they finally went down. And other people, I hit him over and over and over and over, but they never went down. The devil had to ask God's permission to take things from Job. I often wonder, does God say, do you mind if I take this from Adam? Or does he just take it? At any rate, the faith should be the same. It should be the same. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He makes all things new, but not when we don't seek Him first. Not when we don't do that. But when we seek Him, let's seek Him and His righteousness. Don't just seek Him to say, what can He do for me? God, what can you do for me? I put $20 in the plate. Where is my blessing? And before you say, uh-oh, this is about finances, this is about every aspect of your life. That's just an easy one you hear people doing. Well, I gave some money and it was supposed to come back to me. How many fold? I don't know. Something fold. And I didn't get that. Well, did you get it but you just blew it? I don't know. I don't know. Let's flip in our Bibles. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 11. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. It's a very familiar verse to many of us. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It's the same today. He is the resurrection and the life. But it's the same question today. Do you believe this? He cannot make all things new if we don't believe that. We have to believe it. And I'm not talking about I hear it and I believe and I hear what you're saying and I believe that's in the Bible. Do you believe that? And when you believe that, you'll be walking in the newness of life and the fullness of life. When you truly grasp that and understand that. He makes all things new when we believe in Him, when we seek Him first, when we allow Him, when we allow Him to transform us. Another word for that is when we submit. When we submit to Him, He can make all things new. Well, let's go backwards a few pages to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, let's go down to verse 32. And in John 6, 32, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to Him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Lori, by any chance, was that paper down there part of my message? Dang, okay. Because I had one great thing I wrote down, and I can't find it where I left that for anything. But that's all right, because we're in the same place I need to be. I just had one great thing written on a piece of paper. I thought, dang it, I must have left that at home again. It says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." He's the bread of life that He's promised. He gives that everlasting water. And He gives these things. And I want to get to a psalm that David said, and I want to read that to you. It's Psalm 22. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Psalm 22. And in Psalm 22, we hear the psalmist David, and he says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So Jesus was not the first one to use that phrase as He was nailed to the cross. David used it here when he was going through a trial and a period in his life. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And I just want to stop there a minute and say, if you guys have ever got to a point in your life where you've said that same thing, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me in this place, God?" It's okay to say that. I don't want to quote Jesus. You're not. You're quoting David, who was going through the same type of stuff that we go through. And it's called life. "Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?" Many of us have probably questioned God. "Why are you so far from me, God? I reach out my hand to you. I stretch my hand. I lift my eyes up. And yet I just can't seem to reach you. Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? God, do you not hear me complaining down here?" Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. Let me stop there and assure you, He hears you. And in the night season, and am not silent, but you are holy. Enthroned in the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out their lip. They shake their head saying, He trusted in the Lord. Let Him rescue him. Let Him deliver him since He delights in him. But you are He who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. For there is none to help. He makes all things new. Not him or her or them or they or whatever. He makes all things new. David says it right here. For there is none to help him in the situation he's in. When God makes all things new, almost in every situation, it's because we've opened ourselves up. We have allowed Him to work in our lives. We have believed in Him. We have called on Him. And we've said, I'll let you change my life. I need a change. Some people can change no matter what. Oh yeah, let's change today. I'm ready. Let's go. And they're changed. Other people need a lifetime to change. No, 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 no. And then finally, okay. Addicts may be able to change like that. Or they may have to hit rock bottom. The bottom of the barrel. We have to believe in Him. We have to seek Him and His righteousness. We can't just wait for Him to come in our home and say, here I am. I'm going to sit down and talk to you and bless you. We have to seek Him, and we do that through reading. We do that through regular fellowship. I found out Friday that most of you know that I worked down in Lubbock, Texas, not this past summer, but the year before that, for a number of months. And one of the men that I worked with down there, one of my co-workers there, lost his 13-year-old daughter this past week. A tragic accident. His two daughters and his wife were all struck by a vehicle as they were walking down the street, and his 13-year-old daughter died. And as I was studying throughout the week and going through what God's Word promises us, I thought, man, how can you tell someone like that? And there may be some of you sitting out there with things that you're dealing with right now. How do you penetrate their heart with a message that said, man, I understand. But He can make all things new. How do you do that? And I want you to listen carefully. You do that through the Word. You do that through your faith, through believing. As you grow in your faith, you will grow in your acts of service. You will grow in your service to God. You will grow in your service to your fellow man. And we read last week in Revelation the promises that He makes. And He said, write, for these words are true and faithful. And as disciples of Christ, as Christ's followers, as Christians, we take that message to those that are hurting. I thought, man, you take the same message to my friend in Lubbock that you take to all of you and to myself and to our co-workers and our fellow students. Those that have been abused at home, we read letters last week from the school. Those that are living in homes that have plywood for a door on their home, that have holes in the wall. Those students that sleep in their truck that want to go to college. And you let them know that He can make all things new. To the same person that may have been physically abused. To the same person that may have been sexually abused. To the same person that may be an addict. To those same people, you give the same message. Do you believe in Him? His word is faithful and true. And that's where you seek Him first. You seek Him first in this. The TV will tell you all kinds of things. The internet can tell you all kinds of things about God and the lack thereof. There's no evidence, there's no proof. But those that have experienced by faith His loving kindness. To those that are going through financial issues, that God has taken what they had. To those that have lost their home for whatever reason. To those that have lost vehicles or had vehicles just fall apart. To those that have had families that have dissolved. Parents divorced. Children divorced. To those that have lost loved ones. To those that have gone through serious health issues, minor health issues. It's the same message. Because He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I fill all the gaps in between as well. I fill every gap in between. It didn't start without me, and it will never end without me, and nothing in between was without me. And those things are the things that you hang on to. As Christ followers, as believers in Jesus Christ, it is the basics and the basis of our Christian faith. It is the basis of our Christian faith to believe in Him and to grow our faith and to have faith that He will do what His Word says He will do. And if you are going through an illness here on earth and it is not healed until you are in His presence, you will be healed. I want to be healed now. I know that. You will be healed. And our faith says it may not be here. And it may not be in your timing or your timing or your timing. That healing will come when I say it's time. Young people that have parents out there. But I want to do this. You will do it when I say you can do it. You can go when I say you can go. It's the same kind of thing. But I want to go now. You don't get to go now. But I want this. You don't get this now. And you may not get it ever. And that's our God, our Father that loves us to the point of death of His Son on the cross. I know you want it. And I know you want it now. And I know you want healing. And I know you want this pain to go away. And I know you want this suffering to go away. And you may be ashamed of things that have happened in your life. And I can't possibly face people. And I can't tell them what's gone on in my life. Adam, you don't understand what I've been through. He can make those things new. Adam, I was born out of wedlock. Adam, I had a child out of wedlock. Adam, I gave a child up for adoption. Adam, I aborted a child. You don't get it. I don't have to get it. He gets it. He forgives you if you ask Him to. And He can make that situation new. There are people counseling people all over that have been through that stuff. And they can help you out and you out and you out. Because they've been through it. And they get it. And they've used that hurt and that pain and that suffering for good. He can make all things new. We have to become seekers. Man, I can't wait till we sing Go Tell It on the Mountain at Christmas. I love that. I love that song. I listened to it for months, actually, in my car as we were preparing for Christmas. It says, when I was a seeker. I thought, oh man, I love that. Because I want to be a seeker. Well, Adam, you should be a seeker. Well, I am. I guess my point is I want to stay a seeker. We should always be students of the gospel of Jesus Christ and students of the world. But we should always be seekers. One last thing as we close, if I can find it, because that missing page is driving me nuts. Let me see if I can find it. And I do apologize. I thought it was really good. Yeah, Colossians 3. Colossians 3, right in the beginning. Colossians chapter 3. And it's fairly straightforward. Colossians chapter 3 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Okay, that tells us right there in Colossians 3, we're not to seek the things of the world. We're not to be conformed to this world. If you were raised with Christ, we're raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above where Christ is. That stuff isn't here. Above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Man, how powerful is that? Set your mind on the things above, for you died. We said last week, when you accept Jesus Christ, and young people, when you have a life-changing experience at Falls Creek, at Ground Zero, wherever you may have had it or will have it, you've got to continue to seek Him in the things that you do. And you are then connected to Jesus Christ, and you then have died with Him, and your sin has as well. In verse 5, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. And it goes through this length of things that we do with ourselves and our bodies. And it says in verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. And again, a list of things, including filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. Remember in the beginning I said, those things to change, readiness to change, includes do you have the resources and knowledge to successfully make a lasting change? Many people don't in Christ because they don't seek Him and His righteousness and they don't look in the pages of the Bible. You've put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. According to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, all these different list of things, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. And further down in verse 17, what I mentioned earlier, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Also in verse 23, Jan mentioned this in our Bible study Wednesday night, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. He can make all things new. We have to believe that He can do that. And we have to grasp that truth, the basis of our Christian faith, to believe in Him. We have to seek Him first and His righteousness. And then we have to submit and allow God to work. It doesn't matter what you've been through in life. I've been through some crazy stuff in my life too. And I can sit down one-on-one and tell you someday if you want to learn those experiences. Things I'm not proud of. Things that harmed other people. I don't mean I physically injured someone, but I'm talking about other type of harm to them. Things that go against God's word. But He transformed me. And He transformed my mind and my thinking and my life. He can make all things new to you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, which is true. We thank You for Your Word, which is rich with examples of people that have stumbled and were able to get back up. It is rich and full of examples of those people that You renewed, that You restored, that You forgave. Lord, no matter what we have gone through in our life, any one of us, Lord, You have examples, and You have grace, and You have mercy, and You have love to cover all those things. Heavenly Father, as we continue studying about how You can make all things new, Lord, help us each day as we go out of this building to think the areas that You need to make new in our life. That You could add spiritual value to the things that we do, to the areas that we want to change. Lord, that we can look at those examples of changing. Lord, that we can understand that there's going to be readiness to change. Lord, help ready ourselves to change. Lord, that there will be barriers and there will be relapses. Areas where we stumble and fall and revert back to our old ways. But help us, Lord, by the renewing of our mind daily. Help us to get back on track and do it quickly. Lord, help us to find people that will help hold us accountable. People we can trust and depend on. And today, while we're praying and have our heads bowed, if you need help today, again, in areas to transform your life, would you just raise up your hand so that I can pray for you? Thank You, Lord. Lord, many people, many areas that we need to change and transform. Lord, help them. Help them begin making a path of areas that they need to transform their lives. God, from our youngest person to our oldest person, Lord, we just ask You to see them where they are. As David called out on Your name, as he thought You did not hear his cries, we know You hear our cries. But Lord, help us to understand Your timing. Help us to understand and accept Your timing and Your answer no matter what. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.